We're reading this morning from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Let us hear God's word. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before them, before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thunderstorms are pretty rare in the lower mainland of BC. The greater Vancouver area is known as the lower mainland. The proximity of the Pacific Ocean and the fact that the ocean current that has the greatest impact on the Vancouver area is called the Pineapple Express because it flows up from Hawaii, all of that has a moderating impact on the weather in the Vancouver area. Not too hot in the summer, not too cold in the winter, and not that many thunderstorms. When I am warm and dry and safe, I kind of enjoy a good thunderstorm. Now, I realize that not everybody does. Our dog, for one, does not enjoy thunderstorms. There was this one day I was coming home. It was late afternoon, early evening, and a storm was definitely brewing. And as I got out of the car at home, I saw a couple of flashes of lightning, went into the house, and waited as the storm got closer. I began to count the time between the flash and the thunder to see how far away it was. And when I first started listening, it was about 6 seconds, which meant that the lightning was about 2 kilometers away. Not a big problem. But it continued to get closer, and the time between the flash and the thunder grew less and less, and then it hit 2 seconds, which meant the lightning was about 700 meters away. And then there were two flashes of lightning and two cracks, huge cracks, that came about a second later. So the lightning was around 340 meters away. And then there was a flash, and almost immediately a huge boom of thunder. It was almost on top of us. I felt the house shake. I could feel the vibration from the thunder in my feet as it shook the floor of the house. But then the time between the flash and the boom started to grow again. 4 seconds, 6 seconds, 7. And then the thunderstorm was off, bothering someone else, and it was only a distant rumble to us. There's something amazing, if somewhat frightening, about being near that much incredible power. It was kind of like standing beside Niagara Falls. You can see the falls from a distance. You can see pictures, and it's amazing. It's gorgeous. But when you're standing just meters away from that water, you see, you feel the immense power of the water flowing over the falls. It's quite remarkable to be close to something that is so awesome and powerful. And that is part of what the Holy Spirit does for us in our lives. The Spirit brings us close, very close, to the Almighty, Holy, Loving God. We take our next step in our Christianity 101 series, looking at the basics of the Christian faith. We began looking at God as Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, back on April 26th. And since then, we've looked at God the Father and God the Son and salvation in the Son, in Jesus. And today, we look at God the Holy Spirit. The passage we're looking at is the story of Jesus' ascension, Jesus returning to his throne in heaven after he had been raised from the dead. Before he ascended, he was speaking with his closest followers, and he said to them, "John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit upon his people. God came to this world in Jesus, and with Jesus' return to heaven, God was coming to his people in the Holy Spirit. God was coming upon his people in the Holy Spirit. Jesus referred to being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of different understandings as to what that means. So for now, just consider the image itself. Baptized with the Holy Spirit being poured out upon Jesus' followers, or Jesus' followers being immersed fully, completely in God's Spirit. It is about the Spirit's closeness, as close as your skin, and the Spirit's presence fully, completely there with you. Jesus also talked about the Holy Spirit coming on his followers, covering over his followers. And later in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Each of those images points to the intimate presence of God's Spirit in the lives of those who trust Jesus as Savior and who follow him as Lord. There are two main proclamations here that we're looking at. The first is that God is present with his people. And the second is that God gives power, his power, to his people. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. First, God's presence with his people. God is present with us always by his Holy Spirit. He does not just check in with us every once in a while. He is with us every moment of every day by his Spirit. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Think about that. When you trust and follow Jesus, the living, holy, loving God is with you always, whether you feel it or not, whether you experience it or not, he is with you. And it is by God's presence with us in his Holy Spirit that we do experience God's presence. God in his grace gives us the experience of his nearness. We don't feel his presence all of the time. That could be a lack of faith on our part, but it could also be God testing and growing our faith, because faith is trusting and believing when we can't see and we can't hear and we can't know for certain. But there are times when we experience God's presence in our lives. I have had a couple of extraordinary experiences of God's presence. Once was during a really devastating moment in my life when God came alongside and was so powerfully present with me. Another time had nothing to do with distress at all. It was during a worship service, and it was unlooked for and unexpected when God's presence was amazingly present with me. That's a couple of times over my whole life. A couple of times of really extraordinary experiences. But I fairly regularly experience God being with me through prayer and through worship. And not just Sunday morning worship, but those times during my day when I push away the craziness of the world, even for just a few minutes, push that craziness away and focus myself on the Lord, focus myself on Jesus. And I usually use music to help me do that, to focus on Jesus. To me, it is like music is the language of the Holy Spirit. And I experience God's presence. By the Spirit, we experience God's presence. We are also given God's power. And what is the power that God gives us through his Spirit? Well, we have a tendency to have a fairly one-dimensional understanding of power. There's political power and military power and financial power and a winning hockey team, not the Ottawa Senators, clearly. We equate power with might. And certainly we get might with God's power upon us because he is the Almighty. He is the creator of all things. He holds power over nature. He raised Jesus from the dead. God has power that is mighty. But he also has power that we don't always recognize as power. God's love is greater than anything we are capable of giving. We are not even capable of receiving the full weight of his love. His grace is all-giving. His mercy is complete, and he is selfless. He offered himself in sacrifice on the cross in Jesus. And don't misunderstand selflessness for weakness. No one took Jesus' life from him. He offered it up freely. And that is the kind of power that we receive when the Holy Spirit comes on us. So in the Spirit, miracles can happen. Now, they don't happen often, but they do happen. When we look at the Gospels in the New Testament, if you read one of the Gospels, it's almost like Jesus performed a miracle a couple times a day or every second day or something, because there's a bunch of them in there. But each of the Gospel tells the story of Jesus' ministry that happened over a three-year period of time. Jesus performed miracles, but pretty much in extraordinary circumstances. And as with us, we cannot expect miracles all the time, but they happen in extraordinary circumstances. And I have seen a couple miracles. One, lives changed, completely transformed, not because a person made a decision to do it, but because God's Spirit came upon them and empowered them to do it. Total transformation. In the power of God's Spirit, healing happens. Again, this doesn't happen all of the time, but it does happen. God usually works through normal means, but sometimes he heals in an extraordinary manner. Why does he heal one and not another? I don't know the answer to that. He does, but I don't. But God does heal. When the Spirit comes upon us, part of that power comes through in boldness. When the Holy Spirit came upon Peter that Pentecost day, he was a different man. He went from impetuous and talking all over the place to bold and certain and clear. And God's power coming upon us in the Spirit gives us creativity. God is the creator of all things, and he empowers us with his creativity. And so we have art, and we have music, and we have beautiful things. But God also empowers us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to want the best for our neighbors as we do for ourselves, to love even our enemies. He empowers us to be generous and sometimes extraordinarily generous. He empowers us to forgive others. He empowers us to be selfless as he is selfless, to empty ourselves for the sake of another. Not weakness, but selflessness. God comes to us and upon us in his Holy Spirit to be with us and to give us his power. It's kind of like that thunderstorm. Thunderstorms are more comfortably seen from a good, safe distance. Being that close to such awesome power is uncomfortable for us. And likewise, I think we kind of like to keep God at a bit of a distance, a good, safe distance. But the very reality of the Holy Spirit means that God is close. So close as to be part of us. Not only does God the Son, Jesus, give us his grace. Not only does God the Father give us his love, but the Holy Spirit is God present with us, is God empowering us with his power. It is by the Spirit that God keeps his promises from the Old Testament to always be with us. It is by the Spirit that Jesus keeps his promise to be always with us to the very end of the age. But the fulfillment of those promises in the Holy Spirit brings the very life, the very power, the very presence of God directly into our lives. It is like being in the very center of the thunderstorm, but it's also very different. Because though God is the God of power and might, he is also the God of love and grace. And in the Spirit, he comes upon us that we might be more. That we might be more in every way through his presence and through his power. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for the work of your Spirit. And we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come and bring the presence of God upon us. Bring us the comfort of God. Bring us God's help. Bring us God's encouragement. Bring us God's challenge into our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring God's power to bear in our lives. Work through us. Love as you love, forgive as you forgive, be gracious as you are gracious. Our God, we pray your blessing upon us, that we would be aware of your nearness this day and all days. and that we would be open to the working of your Spirit in our lives. Our God, all this we pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. And by God's grace in Jesus, we come to the table that he provides, the Lord's table, in which God gives of himself in Jesus, not only to remind us of the grace he has given, but to somehow allow us to enter into that grace as we share and receive, as we take the common elements of the bread and the cup and receive them and they become a part of us, just as the Spirit is part of us in God's grace. Let us pray together. Our loving God, we thank you that when we were helpless to save ourselves, you came to us in Jesus. Even though we had turned away from you, and at times we had turned on you, and yet your love is so deep and vast for us that you came to us. You pursued us in Jesus. And then in Jesus, you offered yourself in sacrifice for us. Lord, when we allow our minds to truly mull that over, it boggles our minds. The depth of your love for an unfaithful people is beautiful and awesome, and we thank you. We thank you that Jesus offered his life as sacrifice for our own, in ransom for us, to redeem us, to save us. And we thank you that in Jesus' sacrifice you forgive our sins. And in Jesus rising from the dead, you raise us up as well. Bless us as we come to the table, Lord. May this bread and this cup be to us as the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Our God, we ask this in Jesus Christ. Amen.